I'm going to have to say this, and I'm going to get in trouble, okay? Because I expected a couple of farmers to walk in the door.
And that's what you got.
What's that supposed to mean? Hey.
A couple of babes show up, okay?
Nice. Haven't heard that one lately. That's cool.
Well, it's probably because you probably don't wear these outfits when you're farming.
No. And we smell a lot worse, too. So you're lucky. We're clean today.
You smell pretty good today. I want to.
No chicken poop here. We changed our shoes, don't worry.
Oh, good. You know, when the station comes after me and they're going, who's tracking in the chicken poop?
You know who to blame.
And they do, because what show is going to do this on a Sunday, when they come in on Monday morning?
Exactly.
I'm very pleased to have Sarah Creech and Alicia Moore in the studio from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. And just so folks know, it's real easy. Just go to blueyonderorganicfarm.com.
Yeah.
Wow. I couldn't even get my own name.com, but you guys got your farm there. And I have to tell you, Sarah, you have one of the best email addresses ever, because
thank
it's
you.
S. Creech or Screech.
Yes.
I love Screech.
That's, yes.
I mean, it's
that
very.
That was an accident.
Of course it is. But it's as almost as good as. Well, it's in the ballpark with my friend May Barenbaum, who is a professor at University of Illinois, and she's an entomologist, and her name is May, M-A-Y, Barenbaum, which starts with B-E, and it's maybe at whatever
nice.
It is. I like that.
Maybe. I like that. That's a better one.
It's an easy one to remember, but
exactly.
Screech is pretty easy to remember, too. And the great thing about Sarah and Alicia, you're both veterans, military veterans.
Yes, sir.
Where did you serve?
I was in Iraq for 2000 through 2004. I was a translator, and I was helping out with convoys, even though I was translating. And I was in Baghdad and Najaf and El Kut and Diwania, kind of everywhere the Army sent me. They said, okay, we're going on convoy today. You're going to drive.
So you're
said,
Army.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's right.
And you, Sarah?
I was in the Air Force.
I assumed that. I was hoping somebody was in the Air Force because...
And I'm proud of it.
Of course. But, you know, the Air Force was going to be really unhappy if you named it and you weren't actually in the Air Force.
No.
So you got the Army and the Air Force represented here at
Absolutely.
This farm.
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in Qatar and then a couple different places throughout the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I worked as a surgical nurse and did a lot of trauma work. So... And then stationed in California.
So you flew, or did you fly at all?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I did
so
not
you,
fly.
You just did the
mm-hmm.
surgery.
They came to us.
Yeah. Okay.
So
my dad was a medic in World War II.
Mm.
So I know a little bit.
Tough job.
Yeah. Not a job I would want.
Yeah.
No. Thank you for your service, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Now, Alicia, how many languages do you speak?
Just a few. Arabic and French were my Army languages. So that's what I translated for the Army.
Uh-huh.
They taught me Arabic in California. I was very fortunate to learn Arabic in Monterey, Defense Language Institute. And I was there for about a year and a half learning Arabic.
So how good would you say you are at Arabic?
No, not really so hot. It's been a few years.
Yeah, you got to keep it up,
don't
you?
Yeah, I was pretty good back then. So right now, not too hot. I can still read it and write it, but...
When you were translating, was it mostly written material or spoken?
It's a variety of things. It's a variety of... Sometimes it was electronic intercepts. Sometimes it was just documents, just mm-hmm. whatever they had me do that day, whatever the Army needed.
I took French for 5 years in high school and college. No.
Oh, pas trop, hein?
Je peux. What is it? I stink. You know, if I went back and immersed myself in it for about 6 months, I could probably speak really bad French. As it is now, I just panic. You know, I just anybody speaks to me in French, I just panic.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you don't use it, it's just kind of a use it or lose it thing.
For sure.
So when did the idea of Blue Yonder Organic Farm start? And was it the two of you together or one of you? How did that happen?
Well, Sarah owns the farm. I work on her farm.
Okay.
So do you want to explain how you did it or how I met you? Okay.
So do you sometimes sing, not going to work on Sarah's farm no more?
Never.
Never on those hot, hot days in the sun. No.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
you
awesome.
Haven't had any hot, hot days in the sun this summer.
But the ones we did have, I was out there and I remember them. Okay. So it's all good. It's all good.
So Sarah, how did this start?
Well, I actually moved out to a farm in January of 2012 after my husband died from colon cancer at the age of 36.
Oh, my goodness.
I was living, we were stationed in Florida, and after he died, I kind of literally spent 6 months on the couch saying, what am I going to do with my life? Like, I stopped working at the hospital. I really didn't know what to do. And my sister called me one day. She was living in Indiana, and she said, what are you going to do with yourself? And I said, honestly, I don't know. I said, I just want to buy a farm out in the middle of nowhere and move out there and just hide away. And so that's what I ended up doing. I went onto the internet and I found a farm near about an hour from my sister and bought it on the spot. And
really? Just yes, impulse buy?
Totally impulse
buy. How many people buy farms on impulse?
I saw this
on the internet.
On the internet?
Yeah.
On the internet?
This farm from the
on the internet without seeing it. Yes, that's correct.
Oh, my goodness.
I sent my sister out there just to make sure, but yep, made the offer and then ended up moving out there. And it turned out to be one of the most life-saving decisions I've made in a long time. So I moved out to the farm. I actually got a job working as a nurse for an insurance company and kind of did the farm when I got home. So I'd work all
just
day
yourself?
Long. Just yourself? Just by myself.
Just you. And how big is the farm?
43 acres. Which is a lot for a farm by yourself when you're working another job.
Oh,
let me just tell you.
But I can't handle my backyard. Let me tell you that. I got a backyard in Logan Square. I can barely keep up with it.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. It's a lot of work. But I kind of threw myself right in there. I started planting some trees. I put in an orchard, about a half-acre orchard, planted 42 trees. And that was the summer that it was so hot with the drought, and every day I would go out there with my hose and water my trees, water my raspberries. I put in a couple hundred raspberry plants, you name it. So I kind of went hog wild on that. And then after a year, I was still having a lot of trouble working the full-time job, and just nursing was hard. I think I had enough. It's hard to helping people sometimes.
You had been doing it for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So anyway, I went to this conference called Arm to Farm. It was through ATRA and NCAT. I don't know if you're familiar with those organizations.
I am not. Could you explain what they are?
NCAT stands for the
for appropriate technology. But it's like
we're probably slaughtering these.
It's sustainable farming. It's okay. Small farming. Okay. I don't know why they call it NCAP.
And they're programs through the USDA, but they're all
for
sustainable farming. So they started a brand new program. It's for military veterans to learn about agriculture. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go there. So I drove down. It was in Arkansas, and that's where I met Alicia.
Yeah, it was Arm to Farm last summer, and I had just finished a graduate degree in Vermont, and 2013 kind of sucked for me. So I'd finished my master's, and I studied sustainable development in graduate school. And in 2013...
When you say sustainable development, what kind of sustainable development?
My area of emphasis was agriculture education and how societies educate farmers. As many of you know, as you guys probably know, in the U.S., we don't have enough farmers to meet a growing demand for food. The average age of the farmer is 60. Nobody's replacing him. So these were things I was looking at and how to get more people into agriculture, because we have a lot of agriculture graduates, quote unquote. But these are people who invent biodegradable plastic or go into, you know, they trade commodities at the Chicago Board of Trade. They're not farming. And so I just was researching this and I got my degree and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And while I was in graduate school, a really good friend of mine who I loved and I adored, he was a military buddy. I knew him for 10 years. He committed suicide. He'd done two tours overseas, two combat tours, and, you know, I thought everything was okay with him. And so when he took his life, I was heartbroken. And then 6 months later, another friend of mine took his life. So that was not easy. So I I started thinking about the things I'd learned in graduate school, and I started learning about things like the Farmer Veteran Coalition, which trains military veterans in agriculture, and how veterans are finding healing and purpose through farming. And so this whole vets to ag movement, quote unquote, it's kind of happening. I mean, it's a quiet movement, but it's a new sort of trend in agriculture, and there's programs all over the U.S. And I thought, you know, maybe I could do that. Well, A, I'm not a farmer, and B, I had no money. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I went to Arkansas, heard of Arms of Farm through a friend. I applied for the program, and they accepted me. And then I went to Arkansas, and I met Sarah, and she had this real passion for veterans. And she had her own farm, and she, you know, she was doing it. And she told me a little bit about her farm and her livestock. And I said, well, I'd like to come work on your farm. And that's kind of where it started. So I moved down last year from Michigan, and after my degree was done. And we've just kind of been trying to put the pieces together and make a farm. So it's been an interesting journey.
Now, you also got involved with the Land Connection.
Yes.
Yes.
They're in Illinois, well, the Central Illinois Farm Beginnings Program, but that's in Illinois.
It's in Champaign. Yeah.
Yeah. And how did you find out about that?
That was another thing. We spent a lot of time on the internet, apparently. But that was another program. Alicia came in September to the farm, and we had started talking about putting together a farm that really focused on military veterans, both offering that kind of peaceful, healing place for them to experience, but also to offer training, business training, and starting up agricultural enterprises by military veterans for the community. So we went online, and I found the Land Connection, which offered a 10-week program. It was through the winter and through the spring. But basically, the program is set up to help people that are interested in starting farm businesses. Some people come in already having some farm experiences, but a lot of people are just going there saying, I have a dream about building a farm, and I want to create a business for my family, for myself. So the Land Connection helps to educate and to basically train you how to make a business plan and to make that dream happen. So they have several different programs. It's a great organization, great website.
Yeah, and I've got that on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show. I've got a connection to the Land Connection in Central Illinois Farm Beginnings. I work up here with Angelic Organics Learning Center. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you're nodding. You know about them.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And, well, I've seen them on the internet.
Oh.
I mean, I spent a lot of time.
This is
right?
Where you said you spent a lot of time on the internet. Do you have internet out of your farm?
Amazingly enough.
We do. Oh, right goodness. On the outskirts, but we have it.
You're the last one along the line,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But they do farmer training here. I've been involved with them and talking to groups that have farmer training. And obviously, it's not just about throwing seeds in the ground and you have water and it come up? And because it's as you said, you got to have a business plan.
It is absolutely. A small business. You're a business owner and you're producing a perishable product. You're producing a product which people don't understand where it comes from or the amount of effort to raise livestock or grow food. So you're educating and farming. You're educating your consumers as well and trying to make money.
Well, speaking of livestock and other things, what is it? What do you have on the farm now?
Well, right now we're focusing on pastured meats, mainly on pastured chickens. Everything's organic. Chickens.
Are you certified
turkeys.
Organic?
We are not able to certify until next year because I won't have had the land for 3 years.
Okay.
And the farm was a short sale foreclosure, so we don't actually have the history of the land, the people before. So in order to certify, it has to be three years.
Sure.
So,
but, you know,
coming up very soon.
That's kind of common that a lot of people use organic techniques, even though they're not certified.
Absolutely.
And if you trust your farmer, and that's the whole idea, get to know your farmer so you know the food.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that the people you sell to trust you.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Although you don't know what was on the land before, so you have to have that 3 year waiting period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I do believe strongly in the certification process. I think it's great for farms to be able to say, I care enough about the organic movement to spend the extra money, the extra time, so that you can be as a consumer, as a customer, know that I am following these practices, that I've been checked out. It just seems like a good thing to me. I like certification.
So you've got, you obviously also have, you said fruit trees, you've got...
turkeys, ducks, we have sheep.
Laying hens for eggs.
We had pigs, but they've been processed, so... Till next year.
You mean this year, but you'll go back. You're going to do that again?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
What about the crops you grow?
We grow all kinds of produce. This year was our first time with garlic. Mm-hmm. It was so exciting. Put a little clove in and get an entire
Rick
head
Stabile
of garlic.
Is nodding here. You've worked with garlic too, eh, Rick?
I love garlic.
Me too.
Who doesn't love garlic?
It's delicious.
And then growing it your own.
Exactly.
You know, we grew a bunch of onions this year in our community garden. I swear half of them.
I love onions too.
Onions are great. And watching them grow is cool.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of them got stolen, so I'm not even going to go into that. So there you
seems
go.
Seems like the common thing.
It just it does. You've heard that story before. I don't know what it is.
Good.
That's true. You spend a lot of time on the internet. You went back and listened to some podcasts, didn't you?
Of course. I researched everything. I went on your webpage. I looked in your background. I went to your
Scaring me.
I know.
Did you drive by my house and take photos too?
No.
No, don't do that, please.
But I know how to find it.
Oh!
Satellite images.
She can find anything, yeah. And Helen is in there, glad she's in the booth and not here in the studio.
Oh, yeah, always.
But we do have lots of vegetables, yeah.
So you've got all this stuff going on. So how many people do you have working with you?
At this point, it's Alicia and I, and then I have family members that come and help us process. We process all our own chickens, all our own poultry.
Do you really?
We do, which is every 2 weeks for us. It's an all-day, pretty much on Sundays, all-day affair. My entire family, we've got the kids. They go and tell all their friends, we're killing chickens this weekend. We're killing chickens. They're so excited. And they actually...
It's a family
event.
It's
healthy, though. It's good for them to know.
Yeah, to know how their food is processed. I mean, I'm sure a lot, like mine, a lot of eyes are bugging out here. It's okay, let's get the family and kill some chickens.
But they're woo-hoo. Good. The kids are not squeamish. It's just a normal thing, and this is where their food comes from. I think it's really, they're great.
That is very healthy for them to know.
They understand,
Right, and they also get this, I think there's an attitude about when we're processing them. I mean, we thank every chicken before we kill them.
Thank you for your gift.
Because people need to know that this is a life, and... Yeah. It's sustaining you. So there's a respect for that.
How does one learn how to kill a chicken?
The internet.
I went on the internet.
You can find anything on YouTube.
Well, okay, the internet and a lot of books.
Yeah.
When I said I spent 6 months on the couch, I read books about farming. I read books about processing. I learned everything from books.
You're an extremely focused young woman, aren't you?
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You are. Yeah, Alicia, are you that focused, or
are you
in awe of her as
She's a dreamer.
I'm more of the free spirit of the farm.
So I'm looking at left brain, right brain here. Is that
yes,
it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes a whole brain on a good day.
It does. It is a good thing.
On a good day. Yep.
But the point of your farm is. Or at least one of the points, you know, obviously to start it was, what am I doing to keep myself alive and for the rest of my life, or at least for a time until I do something different? And it seems as though you've done that very well. Congratulations. I'm quite impressed. In fact, I'm thinking of going down there and hiring out. I'll work down there
sounds
for
good.
You.
That sounds like a great time.
I don't necessarily want to kill a chicken, but...
You have to.
But I'll harvest raspberries or whatever you need.
That's great.
But I imagine as you were doing this, you were thinking about your comrades and the people you served with. And as you mentioned earlier, Alicia, a lot of suicides.
Yeah.
And for even for the people who don't commit suicide, you know, and I don't. I'm really trying not to trivialize this, but what happened with Robin Williams earlier this week, just it actually is a good thing for people to understand. Mm-hmm. We live in a very difficult world.
Yeah.
It's hard for a lot of people to cope. We were talking in the first hour about autism.
Yeah.
And those are people who have some kind of dysfunction going on. We can create dysfunction in the world by exposing people to to war.
Yeah.
And this is what we have done for the last decade on a regular basis. And we have tens and hundreds of thousands of people who might not have been as equipped for this as they should have been.
Well,
how are you ever equipped for that?
You're not.
That's exactly
right. PTSD has been around for thousands of years, and it was Achilles who talked about it. And if you research PTSD, there's always been a different name for it. Soldier's heart, the evil hours, shell shock.
Shell shock.
It's always been there. If you research it in the ancient world, it's always been around. And after many major campaigns, Thucydides wrote about it, about the soldiers who just couldn't cope. So it's not a new phenomenon. It just has a different name. And in the U.S., we lose 22 veterans a day to suicide. And both of my friends were receiving mental health care treatment in the Veterans Administration. They were enrolled in the VA, going to therapy, going to group, doing what they tried to do, and it didn't work. Something is not working. So instead of complaining about it, maybe we could do something. And I really think that putting veterans on farms and allowing them to heal, to start that process, could impact them tremendously. It has worked for me and Sarah. I think we can help other veterans, and I think we can grow more farmers. We need more farmers too. So maybe we can tackle two problems at once.
Do you feel, either of you, I know, Sarah, you had to deal with the death of your husband, but before then, did you feel as though your experience in the military was sticking with you in an undue way?
Absolutely. I actually had a lot of traumatic experiences while I was deployed, and I came home and I could not deal with it. And I actually spent just under 6 months in a psychiatric hospital in California when I came home, and then ended up getting medically discharged from the military and really struggled with PTSD. I went through a PTSD program. There's some really great programs out there. But I think it was until, honestly, I met my husband, and there were a few key people that were just able to kind of come alongside me and give me a different direction, which I think farming can do in the same way. I think there's something incredibly strong and healing about that, whether it's spiritual, emotional, mental, physical.
All of it, I would say.
Absolutely. You know, there's something about being able to touch the soil, being able to kind of create life instead of destroying life.
Except for the chickens.
Yes, it's a little more controlled.
It's called
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
No, it's fine.
It's the cycle of life. You see the full circle on the farm.
If you're going to eat
beautiful.
Meat, if you're going to eat meat, you should be able to understand
and
that someone's
too.
Sacrificing.
Yeah, so, they tasted good. Hey, I can't lie. It's good. So I eat meat. I'm sorry. I tried veganism. Can't do it. But
exactly.
So.
I'm an omnivore myself, all right?
There you go.
What about you, Alicia? Did you have similar experiences?
I did. I was in Iraq. I was driving a Humvee around Iraq, and we didn't have any armor on our Humvees, and IEDs were tearing apart our convoys. But of course, we didn't have money for armor until I left Iraq. That's when the wonderful Bush administration found some money.
I got to stop you right there. What did the soldiers think about that?
Well, when I was there, it was we're going to catch Saddam. And then we caught Saddam, I think it was December 2003. And then I was like, okay, let's go home. And it was like, no, we're going to win hearts and minds. And I was like, you can't do that. This isn't working. And we had doubts about it then, but we couldn't really voice it. So it was kind of hush hush. And you just kind of waited out your time because you can't leave. So you just kind of go along with it.
You know, a lot of us back here knew it wasn't working.
It wasn't. And I came home and said, this isn't going to work. And I was told by many people it was going to. And I said,
really?
I just came back from there. And people just, it was like a blank stare. Where's Iraq? I can't find it on a map. They didn't know. And people are so disconnected from this conflict in Afghanistan, too. So, yeah. And it was hard for me to adjust. I missed my buddies. I missed the structure of the military. That's why I like farming. There's structure. There's work. There's physical activity. But I also struggled with PTSD and nightmares. And just not, I don't sleep well. And just being a female veteran is tricky because there's a lot of sexism. You face sexism in the military from the guys, and then you get out and people, I have a license plate that says Iraq veteran, and people say, oh, tell your husband I said thanks for his service, or you're a girl. Did you have a gun in Iraq? I've gotten that too. And it's like, I went to war. I was in combat, you know, and they take that away from me. And I feel like like Americans, really, you send women off to war, you don't think they can get hurt as well, like the guys. So it's a very different war, I think, for the females when we come back. Because when I came back and we came back to Fort Polk, Louisiana, this dump of a military base in the middle of nowhere. And the civilians, the locals would buy beer for the guys and they'd be like, oh, you're the girlfriend of these soldiers. And I was like, no, I'm their comrade. I'm a soldier. So it was very weird to me. I didn't understand why America was so gung-ho to go kill all these people in the Middle East, but didn't really want to understand the realities of what was happening to the veterans when they came back.
It sounds like we do this with such blinders. We have such selective vision about what it is, you know, who we're sending, what we're trying to accomplish, how we accomplish it, you know, for instance, without the necessary money and protection for our troops. And the people we send, like you, we don't give them their due when they come. It's just all of it. It's just so wrong.
And I'm not trying to say that America owes me anything. No, I enlisted. Nobody owes me anything. I just don't want these weird comments. You know what I mean?
I get it. I totally.
You don't owe me anything.
I'd have a chip on my shoulder, but you don't seem to have that.
Some days.
But you get to work it off.
Exactly. I go to the farm and pull weeds. It's very therapeutic.
All right. So. Well, we need to break here shortly. 773-763-9278. If you've got any questions or comments for these two wonderful women in the studio, Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm, go to blueyonderorganicfarm.com to find out more. We still haven't even gotten into Homegrown by Heroes and what you guys are going to be doing to be bringing in some folks, veterans, to help you with your organization or get them started with their own farms or working on a farm. Again, 773-763-9278 is our telephone number. Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. I am just tickled pink to have these two women in the studio today. And the fact that you drove up all the way from Indianapolis is just awesome. Alicia Moore and Sarah Creech from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. I just got a tweet here. You guys got to get on Twitter. That's next. You got Facebook covered. What?
Said we keep saying that. We don't do it. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I had the wrong mic on there. But yeah, for you guys, I think you'd make a lot of friends out there. I've got the Seed Keeper Company gals, and there are two women here too that have started their own business and teaching people about seeds and how to preserve them, how to grow them, and they're just the two of the nicest people you ever want to meet in your life, and they write wonderful guests helping vets through gardening and farming. Thank you, Sarah and Alicia, for your Blue Yonder Organic Farm.
So, oh, thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you.
And
thank you very much.
Get more of that on Twitter.
So. Sounds good.
More of that's waiting out there for you. So one of the things that you let's do two things. First of all, and we'll repeat this. I don't want to save it to the end because people then will forget about it. Is that you're trying to raise some money, too. You are trying to get veterans on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a group called Veterans in Apiculture and Agriculture, VIAA.
Yes, that's right.
And did you guys start that?
We did. That's our nonprofit arm of the farm because the arm is for profit. So we take on grant money through that website. It is actually fiscally sponsored by the Land Connection.
Right. I mentioned that. And you sent, and thanks for sending me that note about that, Alicia. I've got the information online here. Scroll down to the bottom of this week's show, and you will see this. You can donate online through the Land Connection. You can send a check to the Land Connection. And since they are a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, they can accept the money, and then they're turning it over to you. And you guys are working on the paperwork right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I would urge everybody to take advantage of this and help these women do some good for vets. Now, one of the ways that the country is starting to do good for vets is a program called Homegrown by Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Homegrown by Heroes. And it was started in Kentucky.
Yes.
But it's taking off pretty quickly, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, this summer they just rolled out Homegrown by Heroes, which is a special designation for veteran-owned farms that you can put on your products, put on your advertising. And it's just a way to show the community, hey, this is a product that's been grown by a veteran. So it's a way that they can support veterans. I think we've got a great culture going on in Indiana and Illinois in the Midwest with people wanting to help veterans. They're just not exactly sure how to do that. Yeah. So this Homegrown by Heroes is a great way to highlight some of the ways that people can help. They can buy the products. We actually are the first farm in Indiana Woo-hoo. To receive the certification. So we're super happy about that. But we're really trying to connect with other farms in Illinois and Indiana and help them get certified as well so that we can mm-hmm. really start this as a movement so that it mm-hmm. it kind of becomes more well-known to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. It's still very new. It's a USDA program, so it is national. So you can find Homegrown by Heroes products all over the U.S. now.
Well, the reason it resonated with me because quite by coincidence, I received an email from the state of Illinois.
I saw that.
Yeah,
recently. Where they're doing a cooperation. Yeah, that's great.
And so they just started up Homegrown by Heroes in Illinois as well. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I got to hold on to this. I've got mm-hmm. to, because when I knew you guys were coming on the show, I said, I love it when these things come together.
I know. They did it just for you.
Toward that end, do you have other veterans working on the farm yet, or when does it happen?
We do have veterans come out and visit. Mostly they're just spending time just seeing, okay, what does it look like on a farm? Mm-hmm. So we've been doing some mini classes with them, kind of taking them through beekeeping, taking them through chickens. We no longer process chickens with veterans.
Okay, I'm seeing. That's probably a bad idea.
Yeah, they get a mini class when they come out. So they deal with the livestock. They help pick and plant. So it's kind of light farm work. Everyone has found it very therapeutic, and then we will hire a veteran next year. We'll have our first full-time veteran.
And how many do you hope to have on the farm?
Billions.
Actually, next spring is our first formal program. It's going to be a week-long program. It's going to be offered to 10 veterans. Alicia actually received a grant through one of the schools that she did her master's program with.
Yeah, a great organization called World Learning, a nonprofit, awarded us $11,000. So we're going to train veterans in beginning sustainable agriculture. It's going to be based on Arm to Farm, where I met Sarah, the program we went through.
So I, from what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're likely not to have a full-time person on the farm, but more likely to do these kinds of programs where they come in for a little bit at a time.
Well, that's our first level. Our second level, after we get that established, we're going to be offering an incubator farm program where basically it's one or two veterans a year that are interested in starting a farm business. But as you know, the capital startup is incredible to starting a business, especially in agriculture. So this program will offer them. We have a purchased house just down the farm or just away from the farm. That's going to be the veterans' house. So they'll be able to have free housing there. They'll be able to use our equipment on the farm. They'll have access to about 5 acres that's set aside for the veterans program where they can actually put their idea into kind of make it work. So the first year, we're going to be offering a salary to them as well as the housing. And then the second year, they're basically on their own. They're using our equipment, but what they make is what they make that year. So it's kind of a step approach to helping veterans start agricultural businesses. And we hope those veterans then, once they start their business, they have veterans come and do the exact same thing where it kind of balloons from there and everybody helps other veterans. I think that's how movements are born.
But yeah, as the farm grows, we're hiring more labor. So we're growing and expanding. Mm-hmm. But as you know, it's a slow process.
Yeah.
So we are getting there. But yes, we're looking for more full-time labor.
But it also sounds as though, in listening to Sarah talk and then watching your facial expressions, Alicia.
Oh, no.
You are the right wing, the right brain, definitely. It's not the easiest thing in the world to talk a veteran into coming into a farm.
Nope.
Why? I mean, you mentioned it earlier, the physical work, the connection with the land, all the serenity, the sense of accomplishment. It all seems like this is perfect for a veteran. Why is it difficult to get them to commit to that, even for a short time?
Well, I think society tells us that there's no money in farming, that you cannot make a living. You know, there was an article just this last week going around Facebook and, you know, a lot of these sites. I think it was the New York Times put out an article saying that you don't let your children grow up to be farmers because there is no money. It's a lot of hard work. I think until consumers are ready to realize the true prices of what food costs to produce, especially in a sustainable, healthy, organic way, it is hard to make that living. But I think things are changing. I think people are realizing that cheap food is not necessarily nourishing, mm-hmm. nourishing to the body. I think we've got higher rates of diseases, higher rates of
obesity,
absolutely.
Diabetes. It's all out there. And I think that veterans just don't know. I never saw myself as a farmer in graduate school until I started doing research. And then I saw the Farmer Veteran Coalition. And then I saw veterans are going into farming. So I think there's just not enough awareness yet because it's a growing trend.
All right. We've got some calls come in. You've got the headsets on. Let's take a couple here before the end of the show. We'll start with Julia in Homewood. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Oh, thanks for being there, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, I just wanted to call and say it was just so heartwarming this morning. My daughter and I were listening. She's 19. And she was listening to the girl's story. And I just wanted to say how beautiful it is to take hardship and tragedy and turn it into healing. And I know it's an uphill battle. But I just wanted to say thank you for being there and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot.
Julie, you think your daughter might be interested in farming as a result of this?
Well, we have 3 vegetable gardens in our backyard.
Mm, good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We're lucky because we have kind of a big lot in Homewood, which is a south suburbs of Chicago. And I got into farming. I lost my husband 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And I started my own little gardening business.
Good
I
for
do.
You.
People's flower gardens. I just go and do their flower gardens.
Wow. What a great business opportunity.
Good idea.
Everybody needs help weeding.
Yeah.
But gardening is so healing. And it's,
absolutely.
You know, for everything from depression to arthritis mm-hmm. to everything else, because you get your little workout and,
absolutely.
You know, it's mm-hmm. so rewarding. And I'm just so glad you guys are there, and it's so great to hear it.
Well, Julie, we appreciate the comment, and keep on gardening, and I'm glad that you're getting your daughter interested in that as well. And
oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
And I just got a tweet from Dee, who says, so happy to hear about these beautiful, funny, amazing women. Thanks for coming to Chicago.
Oh,
stop blushing over there. Stop blushing.
We love it here.
And Mud Baron quoted, I don't know which one of you, maybe it was me, maybe it was you. He says the quote he puts on Twitter, it's not the easiest thing in the world talking a veteran into being a farmer.
Mm-mm.
And you're nodding. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Amtrak Tim online too. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Mike. Your promo this morning was quite provocative.
What do you mean?
The little skit you guys did at the very beginning of the show. The
Star Wars.
The farm.
Oh, we thought it was great too.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you liked that. Good.
Yeah, and I guess I hate to throw a little water here, but I'm that's my job seems to be on your show.
You never let me down, Tim.
I never let you down, Mike. And I wanted to get your opinions on golden rice as a GMO to help cure vitamin A deficiency in Africa and in Asia. And a follow-up to that is, as we get into this world where we get climate change, it's going to happen. Do GMOs have a purpose to help us, you know, deal quickly with the changing climate in agriculture? Because Is organic really going to be able to keep up with the climate as it changes?
Do you specifically, I imagine you're looking at me like you don't use that particular seed that he was talking about.
Well, golden rice is specifically a rice developed for Asia and for right. Africa to deal with a vitamin deficiency.
But I guess the larger question is GMO crops. And if you're going to be certified organic, where do they fit into the scheme of things?
Yeah, certified organic, we cannot use GMO crops. And I know there's opinions on both sides. I think it's a complicated issue. My personal opinion, just as a medical professional and someone who, I mean, my husband had cancer. I think when we start manipulating genes and changing things that are not natural, it concerns me. It worries me about changes we can't see on the molecular level. So I personally am not a fan of GMOs, but I think it's a complicated issue. I mean, there's a lot of levels to that. So I can't give an opinion on that.
Yeah. People in those nations have been farming for a very, very long time. They have farming in their ancestry, and they've been doing it for thousands of years. I don't think GMO is the answer to anything. And actually, it's recently been proven that organic crops are more drought-proof compared to conventional crops. When you respect Mother Nature, you'll get abundance in return. If somebody wants to be a GMO farmer, that's their right, and that's their, you know, that's how they roll. But no, I have no desire to do that, and I don't see GMO as the answer to anything.
There you go. That's the answer I have from the guests in the studio, Tim. I appreciate your comment. Let's move on to Kate in Oak Park. You're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Hi. I just wanted to thank these lovely women for their service. I appreciate it. My brother was drafted into Vietnam when he was 19. And it seems to me that the poor working class are the one they're fighting the wars started by these rich corporations. I just want to thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate you calling, listening, and calling in, Kate. Are you a gardener yourself?
A little bit. I'm not very successful with vegetables. I have a lot of clay in my dirt. So
yeah.
If you have any suggestions as to what I could do, I have a lot of flowers and plants, but vegetables I really have a hard time with.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll ask that question and we'll see what we get here, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. And what is your soil like over there west of Indianapolis?
Actually, we have fantastic soil. We've been very blessed.
That doesn't help you, Kate, I know.
We do have some sections that are clay, and what we're doing, we're just putting in a lot of amendments. I was blessed with a humongous compost pile when I actually moved there to the farm, and so we have been putting that on. We've been doing cover crops and kind of... You can change the soil. It just takes a lot of time.
Yeah, it does.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of work.
It is not that easy. We're getting more tweets here. Let's see here. Resident hippie, whoever that is. Take a look at Vet Homestead, at Vet Homestead, their website. I don't know much beyond its existence, but happy to connect the dots. And I'm not familiar with at Vet Homestead. Oh, it's a... it's providing, it's out of Fitchburg, Massachusetts, and it's a Twitter account that he's telling me about. So, you know, people are out there, and they're connected. I'm telling you got to get on Twitter.
That's our
As if you have the time to do that, right?
Well, I know the Farmer Veteran Coalition, if you're looking for other farms out there that are working with veterans, they are a tremendous resource. There are hundreds and hundreds of people that are doing programs all over the U.S. That are specifically targeting and helping veterans that are doing this extremely successfully. So we are definitely learning from those other farms that are doing what we'd like to do.
Okay, I'm going to put in a pitch for myself real quick, because I know you guys are on Facebook, and I have the I have put your Facebook link up there on my Facebook post, so, and I imagine some of your friends are listening to the show.
They better be.
Well, they better be. Well, and now they better. And if they're listening, they better go to my the Mike Novak show and like it. Okay,
yeah.
I need some likes.
Yeah. It's a deal.
I'm five away from 1,300, so we need to nice. You know, go through the top there. It's not really in the scheme of things. It's nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. But come on. Help us out. We're in the home stretch here on the Mike Novak show. It's been an honor and a real privilege to have these two wonderful women in the studio. It's Sarah Creech and Alicia Moore from Blue Yonder Organic Farm. I want to make sure that you head to blueyonderorganicfarm.com and check it out and take advantage also of their Veterans in Apiculture and Agriculture, VIAA. That's their not-for-profit arm that they're using to try to get veterans. And I tell you, Twitter's gone crazy with folks who appreciate what you're doing. And this has just been so rewarding. And what I'm going to do is I'll dedicate a podcast to this subject this week so people can find out and be part of it. And I may actually go down there. I think I might have to.
Yay!
We'd love to have you.
Field trip?
Always got room in the farm for you.
All right. At this point, you know how the end of the show works, right? Everybody, mm-hmm. You've heard it before because you're always on the internet, Sarah.
That's right.
Listening to everything. I say, okay, you ready? Here we go. I better bring this down. Go green or?
Go home!
Love it.